Okay, good evening. Going to discuss the supposed sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, had severe consequences. He was barred from entering Eretz Yisrael. When Akash Baruch Hu, rebukes Moshe Rabbeinu for his transgression, Akash Baruch Hu says something rather harsh, seemingly. Yan lohem mantem bi, you didn't believe in me. Lag dishen emes of the sanctifying eyes of Bnei Yisrael. Lohem losvias kalzel arts aside, therefore you are not going to bring the Jews, to the, this assembly, right, to the land that I've given them. Akash Baruch Hu says, to Moshe, you didn't believe in me. That's amazing. For 5 years, I had the privilege of being a Rebbe at Eish HaTorah. Rav Noach Weinberg was the Rosh Yeshiva, and this was one of his, one of his favorite lines, to say that this proves that the Torah must have been written by God. No human being would make this up, right? You have to explain, the guys, the board writing this Torah, what happened to Moses at the end? Well, say he didn't believe in God, so God killed him, right? The man who, saw God face to face and brought the law didn't believe in God. But you have to really understand what this means. It's pretty harsh that because he hit the stone instead of talking to the stone, is called that he didn't have faith. It's a sign which is very, very hard to understand. Now, regarding the pasuk goes on to say, "Lahakdisheni lebnei saw that if he would have spoken to the rock as opposed to hitting the rock, it would have been a great sanctification of God's name in front of the people. What would have been that great sanctification? So Rashi says something which needs a little bit of explanation. Lahakdisheni, if you would have spoken to the rock, would have been a big kiddush Hashem. How so? Shul dibartim el asela v'holtzi, would have spoken to the rock and would have given water in response to just, speaking to it. Ha'isi mekor shein ha'eda, I would have been sanctified to the eyes of the populace. V'omrim, they would have said like this, the people. Ma sela ze, she'enu medaber ve'enu shomeh, ve'enu tzuch parasa mekayim diburo shomakom. This rock that doesn't speak and doesn't hear and doesn't need Parnasa, doesn't need anything, self-sufficient, a rock. Right? It still upholds the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kal v'chomer anu, so much more so us, that we do speak and we do hear, right? And we do have needs that need to be filled, that we should, right? We should fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do. Right? So, that would have been the great sanctification, right? A kal v'chomer from a rock. Right, the stupid rock does what it's told, even though it can't hear. Right, we could hear, we have to do kal v'chomer. It's a very interesting message, right? And this would have been the big sanctification. This has to be taught here, right? The people are thirsty, right? And it's not the first time Jewish people complain. Right, they've been complaining throughout the 40 years in the desert. Rashi tells us that the people over here at this instant, this is the generation that's about to go into Israel. This is at the end of the 40 years, right? Now is the time to teach this lesson. Learn a kal v'chomer from a rock. If a rock that's deaf, dumb, and blind, right, does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, kal v'chomer you, why here? Why now? Now, when they have, when they're thirsty,
It's a level, isn't it? The writer's trying to say, this is the level that you're at.
Okay, you're definitely on the right track. There is something there. All right, so our questions are, how can you say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't believe in God, right? What is the, right? Why is it his hitting of the rock instead of speaking to the rock is, that mistake, that error, right, is called like a lack of faith, right? How could Moshe Rabbeinu ever have a lack of faith? He's the one who spoke to God face to face more than any other prophet. And, and the big lesson would have been that, if the rock, which doesn't hear and doesn't speak, does what it's told, so kal v'chomer us, why was it important to teach that lesson here? So now, this parsha, Chukas, is really a turning point that captures the essence of Sefer Bamidbar. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Bereishis points out that by the creation of light, light is mentioned five times. Yehi Or, Vayehi Or, Varokim Is Or Kitov, Vayavdo Kim Ben Or V'choshech, Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom. Five times the term or is mentioned by the creation of light, and says the Medrash Rabbah that it is keneged the chamisha chumshei Torah, the five books of Moses. So Yehi Or, let there be light, is sefer Bereishis. Vayehi Or is sefer Shmos, that the Jews went me'afela, or God, went from the darkness of the subjugation to the light of liberty. Right, and Yaro came as Or Kitov. Right, that's sefer Vayikra, because it's full of a lot of halachas, all the halachas of Kachim. And Vayavdel Elokim, Bena Or Ubena Choshech, God separated the light from the darkness. That is Sefer Bamidbar, which is the Chumash that separates between the generation that left Mitzrayim and the generation that enters the land of Israel. And which is the shift that happens in this week's Parsha. As Rashi points out, right before this, they come to ask for water. Miriam just died. It is the new generation. It's a generation that is destined to enter. And that's captures, as a word, what Chazal see as the essence of what Sefer Bamidbar is that it's this transition now between those who left Egypt and those who are going to Israel. So now the Meforshim on the Medrash are both. If the analogy is to be symmetrical, Vayalki Ben Or Uben Achoshech, God separated between the light and the darkness. That's Ben Yotzei Mitzrayim Leboi Haaretz. If the second half is symmetrical with the first half, that means that we're saying the generation that left Egypt, that's light. And the generation going into Israel, that's darkness. Right? And you would think that, it should be the other way around. Those are going into, the promised land, they're going into a state of, higher Madrega, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so badly for himself also, and in Parshas Veschanan davens for it, and still his request is turned down. And because of this kasha, there are some Meforshim that do want to say that the analogy is not symmetrical. It's sort of what they call in literature, it's a ABBA structure, right? Who knows what I was just referring to? Right. Right, man, poetry, toss in the rhyme scheme, A, B, A, whatever. Bad memories. Anyway, look, the English lit. So some of Farshim say, the second part, the second half of a sentence is not symmetrical with the first, and Or is indeed Eretz Yisrael, and Choshech is Yotzei Mitzrayim, but we will demonstrate not that way. Bezrat Hashem. Actually, it's perfectly symmetrical, and the generation that left Egypt is called Or, and the generation that goes into the land of Israel is called Choshech. Right? Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, darshins the following pasuk to refer to the six orders of the Mishnah. Right? Vahaya Emunas Itecha, Chosen, Yeshuos, Chochma, Vedas, Yiras Hashem Yirotzo, Emunas is Seder Zroim, right? And Itecha, times, that's Seder Moed. Chosen is Seder Noshim, Yeshua is Seder Nezikin, Chochma is Seder Kachim, and Das is Seder Taharos, right? The book of Tumah and Tara, the Seder of Tumah and Tara is Das, and we're going to come back to that. But what interests me for the moment, and we're going to come back to that Taharos, is Das, that is of great significance to us, because we have Pora Aduma in this week's parasha. Right? But Emunas, right? Emuna is Seder Zroim. Right? With all the laws of the land of Israel is called Emuna. Right? It's called faith. Right? So, Tosfos over there references a Yerushalmi that says, Mamin b'chei olamim v'zorea, right? You have to believe in he who gives life to the world when you plant, because you're taking seed that you could eat, and you're gambling that it's going to go into the ground, and there it's going to decompose, but you'll get it back, tenfold, or however many, and it takes faith. Right? So that's, that Tosfos brings out the name of the Yerushalmi. Right, so, think about this for a second. Everything of, aside from what Tosfos says, that when planting, you got to have faith that you're going to get it back. That's why you need emuna. But also, in Seder Zroim, it tells you basically one basic message throughout all the Masechtas over there, what you got to give away after you work so hard. Trumas, Maisras, right? Oh, Maisras Sheni you could keep, but it's a pain in the neck. You got to eat it in Yerushalayim, right? Meiser Oni, right? And Shemitah, you got to, you know, be mafka the field, anyone else could take. Peah, you know, you name it. Now you got to have faith that you're going to give away, you know, you work out the percentages, right? Just Meiser is 10%, you know, aside from, you know, you have to give multiple Meiseris in some years. You got to have faith that your Rebosh is going to take care of you. Shemitah, right? You're going to have to now not do anything for a year, right? You got to have faith. You got to have emunah that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to help you out, right? And with this, by the way, this explains the odd man out. There's one mesechta in Zroim that seemingly doesn't belong. It's the first one, brachas, right? The Seder Zroim is mitzvah satulias ba'aretz, right? And and we have brachas, which is Kriyas Shema and Tefillah. Right? Well, now you understand why. Right, Kriyashma is our declaration of faith. Right, you need faith. If you don't have emuna, right, you cannot go ahead and give away all this parnasa that you work so hard for, or take off a whole year and not work if you don't have faith. And that's why brachas is the opening. You know, Kriyashma, our emuna, professing our faith, that is the opener for the whole Seder Zroim, because it's all about emuna. Right, so now. You know, let's break it down a little more, and some of you have heard this already in the series that we gave in the winter. We gave a little mini-series in Yerukim Ikrim, and we devoted maybe one or maybe even two sessions on the difference between the terms emunah and daat, right? Emunah, you know, versus daat, you know, which I guess is translated loosely, faith versus knowledge, right? And so, what is the difference between these two terms? Right. Is it correct to say I have faith, I am ma'amin, that there is a bima right here in front of me? Would that be a correct usage of the word?
No. What? Physically, you're there.
Yeah.
And emuna does not refer to the physicality, but the spirituality of Hashem.
Okay, I would say something a little bit, unless someone wants to suggest something else, I would say something a lot more down to earth. It would be a correct statement to say, ani yodea, that there is a bima in front of me. That would be a correct statement, right? But ani ma'amin, that there is a shtender in front of me, a bima in front of me.
It's not necessarily a statement.
Right. When do you need emuna? When do you need it?
When
do you need trust?
When you have to have a talk again.
Right. Oof. Excellent. Very good.
I heard the Amos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yarvis. That's the right. Point of how it begins. Rather than to say, must I, when do you read? The whole point is, Amos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know, it's a thing of faith. It's just like, but for how long are we going to have to say Kriya Shema and from the darkness, from the nighttime? How much, basically, it's asking, like, how much faith are we going to need in this dark hour?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. But when do you need faith? When the future is not clear, right? You know. So that's when you need faith, right? When you know you need to trust the guy you're doing business with if he didn't come with the merchandise to the table, right? So then you got to trust him. And then is he ne'eman? Is he not ne'eman? Is he trustworthy? Is he not trustworthy? If the guy puts, you know, the merchandise on the table, you don't need no, don't have to trust him because it's right here. It's right here in front of you. Right? But that's what you need trust for when the situation is, you know, going forward, it's not clear, and that's how you move forward. I heard a wonderful thing from Murray Varabi, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik B'Kadosh Livracha, was Nifter just a few months ago. So he told us that, you know, the everyone's heard the famous Medrash Rabban Dvarim, Emet is Aleph Mem Tav, beginning, middle, and end, right? Like you say, Emes V'Yatziv, right? MSV Yatziv, you know, it's true and firm, right? That's when of course you could say, with certainty, because you see the whole thing. You see the beginning, you see the middle, you see the end, you see everything. So, of course, you know, there's no faith required. What's the root of the word emuna? Aleph, then mem nun. So you have a track record, you know where it's coming from, right? You know it's coming from God. But then it stops by menum, by the middle. You don't see anything going forward. That's when you need emuna. We don't see anything going forward. So, of course, emuna should be based on a solid track record, like God we can trust. So you have the past, you have the track record, and you should only put your trust in someone that has a good track record. So you have the aleph, you have the track record, the past, up to the memnun, the present. You don't see what's happening going forward. And that's when you need faith. And so it was correctly said, in the day we say emes v'yatziv, true and firm, but at night we say emes v'emuna. And the Gemara says in Brachas, it's all based on the pasuk. Lahagid ba'boker chastecha. Today we talk about Hashem's chesed openly and clearly. None of this faith that gamzu l'tova, it always is gamzu l'tova, but we could we could explain it, how it was all for good, but ve'emunoscha balelos, right? You need faith at night when it's dark and you don't know how to proceed. You want to say something? Yeah. Go ahead.
What happens when there's two people and one can exist with the other? So God will help one or God will help the other?
They should both have faith. They should both have faith.
Yes, but
right.
One would cancel the other out.
Yeah, but God is so smart, he has a way of reconciling it. You're raising a very good question. I saw your question in the writings of Rav Kook that were never published in the classical Svarim. There's like the Kvotzim that were recently published. They published his notes. They're organized. They asked this question: if two Jews are in a din Torah with each other, right? They went to Beis Din, so they're both davening to win, right? What does God do with the two tefillos that are, right? And so he says, listen, each one is tied into the universe differently, hooked up by the root of the soul. They should both daven, and it's beneficial for the world, for the cosmos, that they should both daven, because each one with their tefillah, is metaken his chelik of the world. Right, and it's not to worry about contradicting each other. Right, everyone fixes something with his tefillah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to average it all out. So, to our small minds, they might be mutually exclusive, but in the big picture, all tefillah is good, and everyone fixes the world, makes the world a better place because he davens, even though someone else is also davening for the exact opposite thing. Yeah. So, and they should both pray, and God likes it that they both pray. And he is smart enough to work it out. Everyone should pray. And it's only good that everyone should pray, even if the prayers are mutually exclusive. Anyway, you can understand, in the generation of the desert, right, where they're living in the desert, which is totally unnatural. It's not possible for the man to survive in the desert. So they're always getting their sustenance miraculously, openly. The man from heaven, the slav, and the be'er that temporarily ceased because it was in the schus of Miriam who died, and that's why they had to bring the be'er back. Right, they had to do a new, and we're going to discuss this a little bit deeper in just a second. If you lived in that situation, that the Anan did your laundry for you. Right, shielded you from the elements, and did your laundry for you, right, and you didn't have to go to work, right. In effect, everyone was in kolel. The only difference is that no one's father-in-law had to pay for it, right, right. You sit and learn Torah all day, and the fact that there's a God, there's a master universe is just a incontrovertible fact. Because you see it, right? What did you just eat this morning? You ate the man. What did you just drink this morning, from that miraculous well that traveled with them? And, and why did you have something clean to wear? Because the Anan had done the laundry and your clothes grew with you. Amazing, right? So you can't say that the people of the desert had faith that there is a God, right? The term emunah doesn't come up, right? Because it is an incontrovertible fact. There's no other way to explain life, the life that they were living in the desert. Right? So they didn't need emuna. They never had to, as it were, flex the emuna muscle, right? Because everything was just so clear. And just like it was that way in their daily lives, they had a certain luxury that we don't have, right? That if they ever had a suffix, right, they had a doubt in what the law is, they could go Moshe Rabbeinu, And Moshe Rabbeinu does it. If he has the privilege, if he doesn't feel like figuring it out, he's allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imdu Veshma Mayitza Vashem. Like Chazal say, Ashri Yilud Isha, fortunes of woman born, as Moshe Rabbeinu was the one man in history that was allowed to do this, that he could ask his shailos directly to God and get an answer, as was by Pesach Sheni, as will be coming up in Parshas Pinchas with Benos Tzlavchad. Right, like yeah, there was like no. Well, it's a suffix. We're going to have to be machmir. Right, they didn't have that. They didn't know the meaning of the word because if they didn't feel like making a drasha to resolve it, they could ask God directly. You know, that period came to an end with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Halachically speaking, ever since Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say the Navi Yeshaya, Chas V'Shalom, would have said, you know, I want to tell you that God told me this is the halacha. That would be grounds to execute him for being a Navi Sheker, because ever since the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, lo bashamayim he. Now, this is a famous Gemara in Temura. They asked Yehoshua, you know, they forgot halachas in the days of the morning of Moshe. They said, you know, Yehoshua, ask God, I'm not allowed to. Right, so Asniel ben Knaz had to reconstruct with Pilpul. But Pilpul, there's speculation. Right? Am Yisrael under Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't know what the meaning of doubt is, right? Because he is licensed to ask God all his shilas. Right? If the Sanhedrin didn't want to rule on the issue, right, he could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not a problem. Lo bashamayim. Right? So everything about the generation in the desert was total clarity, no doubts, right? No doubts that there's a God, no doubts in understanding of Torah. Everything is like, you know, laid out, and you can understand why that type of environment, right? That generation was called Or, called Light. There is no confusion. You need emuna, v'emunascha balelos, right? But when they were going into Eretz Yisrael. All right, so what was going to happen was that, you know, now they would have to lead earthly lives. You won't have the man from heaven, and you're not going to have the be'er. Things were going to shift, right, because it was going to go, as it were, re-enter earthly life, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, ultimately. Matter of fact, most mitzvahs, right, did not go into effect until they came to land of Israel. That's why you find many parts of Ki Savo Ela Oretz. Right, living an earthly life, you know, and with all the challenges of earthly life, which includes physical mitzvah observance, that goes into effect in the land of Israel. And that's where you need faith, because there's going to be darkness, there's going to be confusion. Now, with this, you can understand a very interesting chazal, that it's not just poetry. It's there's a tremendous depth to this. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu makes peace that he's not going to be the leader in Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Pinchas, so he says, Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchas, he begs God to appoint a leader. Right? And he set high criteria, Elokei Aruchas, someone who can understand people, understands everybody. So he commands Moshe to give smicha to Yehoshua, v'nasatcha mehodcha alav, give from your aura to him. Mehodcha v'lo kol hodcha. So Gemara says, Baba says, kenim shebo sador hayu omrim, p'nei Moshe k'p'nei chama, p'nei Yehoshua k'p'nei levana. There was a part. So Moshe Rabbeinu, his face was shined like the sun. Yehoshua's face shined like the moon. Right? Under Moshe Rabbeinu, it's daytime. It's, you know, Yehoshua is the leader of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, which is, as it were, nighttime, darkness. And the moon is the luminary of the night. V'emunascha balelos. All right. So now, understanding over here, now, just, you know, to follow through, we, in Rashi, in the beginning of the parsha, opens up with Parah Aduma. You know, Parah Aduma being like the quintessential chok, something that's above our understanding. Right, so the Vikhu Elecha Parah Aduma Tamima. Right, so Rashi brings that the Lolam Ikreis Hashmecha, Parah Aduma is always to be associated with Moshe forever and ever. But the Medrash Rabbah says, you know, further what that means, that Vikhu Elecha Lecha Ani Megalep Tamei Parah La'acherim Chuka. You are going to understand Parah Aduma. For everyone else, it's a chok, it's like a dry law, that, you know, we just do it because God said, we don't understand how it works. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood Parah Aduma. Now, this is amazing, right? That the that for all Klal Yisrael, Parah Aduma is like a mystery. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it's clear. Right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's level is Das, right? It's knowledge. And now, Taharos, Das, Ze Seder Taharos. We quoted from that Gemara before in Shabbos. Something very interesting about the key element of Tumentara is, where did you come in contact with? Come in contact with something that makes you Tame, you know, then your tummy come in contact with something that's tahor, right? You remain tahor, right? And if you become tamei, right? What do you have to do? You got to go to the mikveh. The mikveh is not allowed to be detached from the ground, right? So attachment and detachment is like a very key factor in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. We find that das also means attachment, like ka'odam yoda aschava ishto. Right, a man knew Chava's wife, as they say, like to know in biblical sense, right? Because, you know, a part of knowledge is to be, you know, totally in touch with the reality, right? And that's why you don't need faith. Totally in touch. Moshe Rabbeinu's level was, you know, das to the fullest, and to him, because of that, he's totally connected to the Torah. Right? There's no distance between him and the Torah. So anything in the Torah, he fully understands. Right? You have to bear in mind, as Rashi tells us in the name of Rav Moshe Darshan, right, Parah Aduma became necessary as a countermeasure for the Cheta Ego. And it's very simple to understand this logistically, because Am Yisrael was meant to be immortal. Yisrael Shomdu Har Sinai Paska Zu Amasan. At Har Sinai, they actually fixed the sin of Adam temporarily. Ani Amarti Elohim Atem Buvnei Elyon Kulchem Chazal Darshan at Paska Tilim on Am Yisrael by Har Sinai. But then after the Cheta Ego, Ochen Ka'odam Tamus Ha'azor, but because of the sin of Golden Gap, you will die like man, like Adam Arishan. Right? But Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't involved in that sin at all. He was in heaven when it happened. Right? He had no part in it. He was totally clean of it. Right? Didn't stick to him at all. Wasn't his problem. He wasn't even on earth when it happened. So he remains totally unaffected, right, by the Cheta Ego. So Am Yisrael that got reduced by the Cheta Ego, and now they need Parah Aduma to take off the Tumas Meis because now they're mortal. But that falling of Madrega also is a falling of the mind, so they can't understand Parah Aduma, right? They can't get their heads around it. Moshe Rabbeinu could get his head around it because he's totally untainted by the sin of the golden calf. But still, the people that were, you know, directly under him with Yetzias Mitzrayim still had some connection to his level, right? But now we're dealing 40 years later. Right, this is the generation that's about to go into the land of Israel. Right, so you have to understand the depth of what was going on over here. This was like a new giving of the Torah to see if a challenge whether Moshe Rabbeinu could be bridged with this generation. It's the next generation that's about to go in the land of Israel. Right, the waters, you know, represent the waters of Torah. We have incredible sources that this Be'er of Miriam, which was renewed with this event, right? It was subsequently made its way into the Kinneret, right? There are those that say you take satellite photos, you can see it's like, you know, some area where like it seems the water is sort of like, you know, you know. All right, but you know, we have incredible sources that when Rav Chaim, this is what it says in Svarim, that when Rav Chaim Vital started learning Kabbalah from the Ari, lo nisyashva chokhma bekirbo, it just didn't settle, right? He could not understand and get his head around the deep teachings of the Arizal. So it says in numerous sources that the Ari, you know, they went out in a little dinghy, one of them little rowboats, to the Kinneret, and he gave him to drink from the waters of the Be'er of Miriam, right, from this Be'er, v'oz nisyashva chokhma, right, then it settled. Then the Torah of the Ari was able to get his head around it, right? You know, the Torah is nimshalamayim. There was a very interesting thing. Rashi says, hakilu kol ha'eda, bring everyone, that miraculously all of Bnei Yisrael were able to fit around this rock and watch this event. Like Ma'amad Har Sinai, the whole Jewish people were there. This was a bold attempt, right, to see if Moshe Rabbeinu can, you know, it could be commensurate, you know, in any way, you know, shtim, with the new generation, right? There's going to be a generation that needs emuna, right? Not das, They need emunah, not das. And this Tosfos Emes says, of course Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't believe in God. Of course he doesn't. He knows there's a God. Emunah doesn't come into play. But here's the thing. He has to lead a people that do need emunah. So it's an amazing thing, right? The Rambam writes in the Shmona Prakim, right, in his 8-chapter introduction. We're almost ending, right? Coming to a close, right? The Rambam writes in his 8-chapter introduction, the Pirkei Avos, in the 4th chapter. You know what the sin of Moshe was? Is that he got angry. So some of the other Rishonim go, like the Ramban is right, they go wild. That's his sin? He got angry, right? Why? He got angry at Am Yisrael, right? At Am Yisrael. He's a Shimuna Amorim. Right, that's what he says, and he was nichshol and kas, you know, because the Rambam in the Shmona talk about, you know, the chiyuv to have pristine midas, and the proper midas are the ones that are down the middle. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he left the medium, he got a little bit angry, and that was his chet for a man on his level, and that's why it was a chil Hashem. Why was it a chil Hashem? Because God himself was not angry at the time. We don't find in the Pesukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had tainus on Am Yisrael for this complaint. This was not one of the times where there's any divine wrath. So Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to represent God. So Moshe Rabbeinu is allowed to get angry as a reflection of the mood of the Shechina. But over here, God didn't get angry. Right? Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu got angry by himself because he got fed up. Right? So that was a Chil Hashem because he was misrepresenting God. That's all in the words of the Rambam. So, you know, already going in the order of generations, the Maharal. And the Gevuras Hashem wants to understand, you know, he wants to support the Rambam. He says, so what is it, why do you call that a lack of faith? Why do you call it a lack of faith? Right, so Maharal says, very simple, right? Because a person who has emunah never loses his cool. Right? Now, you see, backs up the Rambam, that the Rambam's right. In essence, it was kas, right? He was nichshol in kas, and for Moshe Rabbeinu, his madrega, kas is a cardinal sin, because he's expected to be perfect, right? So what does that have to do with emunah? He said, a person who has emunah never gets angry. He never loses his cool. Because even if he's out of control, right? Even if he's out of control, right? Well, he has faith. Right? Everything will work out. So he never gets angry. That's what the Maharal writes. So, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't not bikuris, right? But he didn't have the positive, calming effect that emunah gives, right? So, of course, his ideology was pure and pristine and untainted. Of course, he believed in God. But emunah gives emotional strength that you never lose it. You never lose your cool. Right? That's how the Maharal, supports the Rambam. Right? And my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira, further added that what do Chazal say about Kas? That im chacham hu chachmaso mistalekas, v'im navi hu nivuaso mistalekas. That's what Kas does. It causes you to lose your das. Right? And when you lose your das, what has to kick in? Emunah. Right, but what happens if emunah doesn't kick in? Right, so when there's siluk hadas, there's two major moves to nonverbal communication, forehand and backhand. Right, that's a hit the rock, and that's what happens. When you lose it, that's how you can't articulate. Right. And that's also vice versa. It's a two-way street when you're dealing with a person that just doesn't understand, right? So, the frosk is the only thing he understands. If you're dealing with a kid or an animal, right? I mean, that was once. Now you get arrested, right? For hitting the animal, right? World's changed. Yeah. Yes. Anything's possible. Right. Anything is possible. Right. Anything is possible. But there's no question he was being set up. Right. He was being set up. Right. Because, Eldad and Medad already said, in the Benavoy, he's not going to take an Am Yisrael into Eretz. So he was being set up. And Akash was bringing him this Nisayon. There's no question that Akash was making this particular challenge for him to prove to him the incongruence between his madrega and the madrega of those who are going to go into Israel. So he puts him in a situation where he loses his cool, right? And he said, listen, you don't have emunah, right? And then, you know, when a person loses his cool, he hits, right? Because that's the mode of communication when there's no das, right? Be it from the one who hits, be it if sometimes the recipient, that's, if he has no das, he has to, it's the only language he understands, right? This love, not hate, it doesn't work. You know, someone asked me, I have to mention this, you know, after the terror incident, you know, on London Bridge, so they hung up a sign, love, not hate. So my physical therapist, an immigrant from Russia, you know, as he's like cruelly stretching me out, he asked me, explain this to me, explain to me the Western mind. Who is that sign for, right? The victims, right? Is it for the victims, right? They're dead already, right? It's for the terrorists, like, so like a guy's ready to blow himself up, but he's going to see that sign, love, not hate. Oh man, I'm convinced, right? Right? All right, okay. You're dealing with behemoths. You know, the only language they understand is, you know, not signs, love, not hate. You know, so. Anyway, Shem Yazor. All right. So, but anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So he was put in a situation of Siluk Hadas. Right? Siluk Hadas. Right? And he hits the rock and says the Say the Svarim HaKadoshim, Rav Isaac Kover and others, that, you know, this was an act of giving us Torah, as it were, like a new Matan Torah for the next generation, right? And now that's the way Torah learning goes. We have to bang our head against the wall, like, right? It, you know, you wish, like, you wish Torah learning was so easy, right? You could just, like, speak the words of Torah and it just goes into your heart. It doesn't go that way. It goes with a lot of, I would say, you need amelos, meimis atzmo leah, right? You have to mash, be willing to, you know, to die over, you know, kill yourself with your learning. Right, it goes with a lot of pech, you know, like, you know, mental beating that you have to go and read it again and read it again. And that's what the Talmud Bavli does. You know, it tries it this way. Now that doesn't work. And that way, why can't it just go straight to the correct teretz? No, because there is no way to go directly to the straight teretz. You have to, like, bang your head against the wall, and then it goes in. Then the heart of stone, that stone represents our heart, then the heart of stone, right, finally understands and gives water. Right? And that's what it means that Am Yisrael is supposed to learn a Kal V'Chomer right there. Right? A heart, you know, a rock that doesn't see, you know, it doesn't hear and doesn't speak, has no das. And that's Am Yisrael going to Eretz Yisrael. They're not on the level of das of Moshe Rabbeinu. They're on the level of Emuna. But still, with that, right, nonetheless, right, they still are able to uphold the rocket that has no das, still upholds, right, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and that's emuna, right? No das, right? So Kal V'Chomer us, you're supposed to teach that lesson. And if he would have succeeded, there would have been a synthesis that, you know, even though they went down in level, but Torah learning theoretically would have been a lot easier, that we could just, like, open our mouths and start saying the words of Torah, and the understanding would come, you know. You know, so, you know, it would flow more readily, right? But the challenge wasn't, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu failed the challenge. And therefore, that's why Torah learning is so hard. And you have to be willing to bang your head against the wall to get things, as we say, a rois klor. Right? And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Yan lo emantem bi lagdisheni, because you are on the level of das. You can't live with emuna. Right, you on emuna level get frustrated. You're out of your comfort zone. It's not what you're used to, and that's the level of the people. Right, you cannot lead these people. Right, there is an incongruence between your madrega and the generation that you originally led. Right, and the madrega of those going into Eretz Yisrael, and it was all brought out by the issue that, you know, when there's a siluk hadas, when there's a lack of clarity, how do you cope? You're not used to lack of clarity. That's not your area. That's not your zone. Right? But that's going to be the zone of this people going into Eretz Yisrael. They're like the rock. That has no das, doesn't speak and doesn't hear. Right? And you have no way of talking to that stone. Right? You cannot speak to this generation. Now you get frustrated, you hit it. Hitting the rock would represent the frustration you would have in trying to lead this generation in the circumstances and in the environment of Eretz Yisrael, where everything would be b'derech hateva, right? And that, so it was more, not so much as, there was a certain element of sin, because it's called he got angry, where he shouldn't have, but it's much more the catastrophic, as were consequences. They can't go into Eretz Yisrael. That's not a punishment. This was, you know, is a reality. that it was demonstrated that because, he cannot handle this type of situation, he can't speak to the rock. The rock is the heart of the people going in there. So you cannot speak to them, right? You can't be their leader. Yehoshua, that's more on their level. Pelavana, he is the proper leader. Right? And that's why, it just cannot be. Right? And this is the issue that, it's not the sin of Moshe, right, that deprived us of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The sin of, as it were, what deprived us of Moshe Rabbeinu was the incongruence between his Madrega and the Madrega that we're supposed to be on, in Eretz Yisrael post his passing. All right, thank you very much.
That's a power to you.